We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
At home, Darwin Pictures.
Way too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, like, way too hard.
That was auditory assault.
No, that's no bueno.
Absolutely not.
Just awful.
Mm-hmm. So now we have different levels of no jam as well. We have right. Too hard and auditory assault.
By the way, some people have written in. They need a chart the next time we do it.
Oh, geez.
On jam level.
Okay.
And they have two proposals for higher than jam.
I saw these. These were great.
Colossal jam and baby making jam.
No, that's baby making.
Baby making jam. Mm-hmm. I think that one needs to be put at the top.
I don't think we should use that
term.
Baby making?
No.
Why are you looking at me like I've lost my mind today?
I don't think we should use that term.
Here's
baby making?
Here's the reason why I wouldn't recommend using baby making is because it applies to a specific type of music to which a song may or may not qualify. Like, for example, Separate Lives that we played earlier is amazing, yet that is not something that you want playing when, you know, that's actually going on.
I agree.
So it's
more. I don't
understand
what your complaint is.
I don't think we should use that term.
That's not the same word. I'm telling you right now.
Dana is very prudish today.
She has lost her mind.
I have not.
I am the arbiter here of what violates the law, and we have not violated the law.
Not even close.
No.
I believe the FCC makes that call.
We are not even in the room.
Okay.
We've gone way farther down the track before and nary a peep from you.
Okay.
Good point.
Nary. I'm pulling out the nary.
I mean, it's not like we use the formal term or anything.
I like the colossal jam.
All right. So we'll make colossal jam the highest jam that you can receive.
Now, some songs that have been categorized as severe are now going to have to be
colossal.
Recategorized as colossal jams. Yeah. Right.
So then we'll go from colossal to severe to jam to not a jam.
Yeah. Okay. That works.
To auditory assault.
Well,
auditory assault, which is Pearl Jam, apparently.
Right.
Again, auditory assault is referring to something that is a specific style.
I mean, something with heavy guitars and drums.
Yes.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Story here from the Wall Street Journal. President Trump has floated the idea of purchasing Greenland.
All right.
Oh, okay.
The idea of the United States buying Greenland has captured the former real estate developer's imagination, according to people. Now, before everybody goes, fake news, this is the Wall Street Journal, a conservative newspaper, of which, if you don't believe me, here it is in my dirty little hand, I subscribe to and receive every day. The Wall Street Journal is reporting today that Donald Trump has floated the idea of buying Greenland from Denmark. Those in the deliberation say Mr. Trump has, with varying degrees of seriousness, repeatedly expressed interest in buying the ice-covered autonomous Danish territory between the North Atlantic and the Arctic Oceans. In meetings, at dinners, and in passing conversation, Mr. Trump has asked his advisors whether the U.S. could acquire Greenland, listened with interest when they discuss its abundant resources and geopolitical importance, and according to two people, has asked his White House counsel to look into the idea. Some of his advisors have supported the idea, saying it was a good economic play, two of the people said, while others have dismissed it as a fleeting fascination that will never come to fruition. It is also unclear how the U.S. would go about acquiring Greenland if the effort ever became serious. Greenland has a population of 56,000 people. Mm-hmm. It is a self-ruling part of the Kingdom of Denmark, and its government decides on most domestic matters. Foreign and security policy are handled by Denmark. I should point out, President Trump is scheduled to make his first visit to Denmark next month.
That won't be awkward at all.
Oh, you want our big island?
Okay.
President Trump is floating the idea of buying Greenland.
What would we do with it? It's a big ice cube.
I don't know.
Send prisoners there.
Like make it like the American version of Australia?
Right.
The economy currently is highly dependent on fishing.
Fishing.
Okay.
Like almost all of their economy is fishing.
You could do some mining there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So fishing and mining look to be the main draws. Also, there are, not that I thought it was terribly populated to begin with, but there are far fewer people than even I thought.
There are more people. Let me.
It's not very, it's almost inhospitable, isn't it?
It is not a forgiving climate.
There.
Inhabitable?
I would say it's largely.
I think she meant to say inhospitable.
Whatever.
I would say it's probably no different than Alaska in that regard.
Oy. God, I hate the cold. I mean, just the thought of being there for 3 seconds makes me shudder. Like, I don't understand why anyone would want to live in an environment like that, but people do.
Estimated population just shy of 56,000 in the whole place.
Think of this. Put Shawnee and Merriam together, they have more people.
Right, in a much smaller area, but yes.
Greenland is the largest island on the planet.
836,000 square miles.
Text line says, do we then have to build a wall around it?
No, there's an ocean.
I think it was a joke.
Oh.
Can I tell you, this story just ticked me off today. We'll post
send the Mexicans there.
On our Facebook page. Did you see these triathletes have been disqualified? Here's the photo. Look at the picture. They're smiling. They're running. They're at the finish line. They have been disqualified from Olympics qualification. This was an Olympic qualifying race.
Okay.
They have been disqualified for crossing the finish line holding hands. You know, you see that from time to time when two athletes are crossing together
and they put
their hands
not
up.
Not like romantically holding hands. They put their hands together up in the air.
Up high in the air as they cross. They put their hands up and held as they crossed. They have been disqualified.
Yeah, that's right. Against the rules. You're not allowed to touch another runner.
You're not allowed to touch somebody. I didn't know that. And this isn't touching. They're holding hands.
Hmm?
It was a photo finish. They were holding hands celebrating as they completed the World Triathlon Olympics qualification event.
Dana, how would you propose people hold hands without touching?
Well, this is not touching. They don't want you like shoving another athlete or assaulting another athlete.
You can't touch another one.
Accosting another athlete.
You can't help an injured one across the finish line even.
That's actually true.
Someone just wrote in, I'm genuinely upset for these champions. A fine perhaps, but disqualified? They gave the finisher to the person behind him. Like, got in, but these people did not. I'll post the picture. Why can't you hold hands?
Because you're not allowed to touch somebody.
But have you also seen people pick up someone and carry them over the finish line?
Also illegal.
Yeah, they also got disqualified for that.
That is the
biggest crock of horse baloney I have ever heard of in my entire life.
It's interference with another athlete.
That's right, Sam. That's right.
Hand-holding is not interfering.
No, but you're touching.
Touching is not interfering.
Touching is illegal.
I have, you know how many races I have run?
None.
Exactly. Even I know that. Even I, who has never taken part in any race whatsoever, know you cannot touch another runner.
Unbelievable.
What do you want him to do?
Not disqualify him.
Well, then don't touch somebody.
Don't break the rules. You won't get disqualified.
What if you accidentally bump into someone?
Well, I would argue holding hands is not accidental.
Maybe they accidentally held hands.
Do you think that these two people who have run races, I would presume, all of their lives, if you're good enough to qualify for the Olympics, you know running, right?
I would assume so.
Okay, so if you know running, would you not know the rules of running?
I don't know. You put one foot in front of the other and you do it quickly. End of story. That's the rules of running.
While not touching another athlete.
Correct.
Unbelievable. I'm so mad for these women.
Since...
Why?
Well, wait. I'm intrigued by your wisdom of sport. How do you play soccer?
You do the same thing, but you got a ball in front of you.
So you put one leg in front of the other.
Quickly.
Quickly, of course. And you kick a ball. Yeah.
But in soccer, you are allowed to touch the other players.
That is correct. It is a contact sport.
As long as you don't.
I mean, I don't mind them saying, like, you know, we'll find them or we'll, like, I just don't think you kick them out. That is, to me.
Why? They broke the rules.
Oh, good Lord. Well, the rules are stupid.
Well, rules are rules.
Them's the rules.
Rules are rules. You're grouchy today. Why?
Because I don't think they should be disqualified. That's it.
That's what's got you all worked up?
Yes.
Two Olympic morons that you don't even know their names got disqualified for holding hands?
I do know their names.
Well, yeah, when you look at the story.
Georgia Taylor Brown and Jessica Learmonth.
They're not very good at the rules.
No, they're not. They're bad at the rules. Shouldn't be holding hands, man. That's what I think. Hey, we're doing the Salvation Army Radiothon this afternoon. If you can donate, and we pray and hope that you can, and you're willing, 913-744-3877, 913-744-3877, or dial #250. I wanna know what
love is.
Oh, that is a colossal jam.
I want you to show me.
It's a severe jam. It's not colossal.
I wanna feel what love is.
Foreigner had a better love song than that.
Girl Like You.
Okay, two love songs better than that.
A story here from Kansas City. It's from Fox 4. A group of parents say they are getting the runaround from Kansas City Public Schools about what happened to their kids. They arrived home 4 hours later than they were supposed to get off the school bus on Monday, leaving their parents frantic. Kansas City Public Schools said a 30-minute delay with high school students messed up the bus schedule district-wide. Some parents aren't buying that.
4 hours.
Which means if your kid was supposed to be home, let's say at 3, they got home at 7. At 4, they got home at 8.
Someone texted us about this late last night. And, you know, because it was after hours, we didn't have any mechanism through which to confirm that this had happened. And the last thing I said to Rebecca Crockett was, maybe there was a misunderstanding. Maybe, you know, it's a new bus driver, new route. Maybe it wasn't 4 hours. Maybe it was 40 minutes, and we'll figure it out tomorrow. No. It was 4 hours.
At Garcia Elementary School in Kansas City, Missouri, the school day ended at 3:30 on Monday. The bus carrying this woman's kids did not arrive home until 7 o'clock at night. The kids got out at 3:30. The bus finally rolled up after 7 o'clock.
Now, apparently the driver is saying they took a wrong turn. Here's the deal. Did you take a wrong turn and go to St. Louis?
That's a hell of a wrong turn.
And, Scott, there was no communication. The parents were freaking out. They were like, where's the bus? You know, after 30 minutes, where's the bus? Don't they
is
have
there
a...
no communication? Like a walkie-talkie?
That's why the parents are so mad. No one was able to tell them where this bus went, And to my knowledge, they still don't know where the bus went. I'm not buying it.
576-7798. Would love to hear from those of you who are parents of these children. How does a bus driver get lost? Don't they pre-run those routes?
For 4 hours.
Yeah, that's the
4 hours.
That's the kicker.
Was the district unaware?
You could circle this city like four times in 4 hours.
How many times, honestly, how many times could you go around 435?
In 4 hours?
In 4 hours?
At least three. 576-7798. We're doing the Salvation Army Radiothon this afternoon, 913-744-3877 is the number for that. 913-744-3877, or you can do #250 when you're prompted, just say Salvation Army. If you'd like to weigh in on the topic at hand, the bus is that we're missing for 4 hours or more on Monday in Kansas City, Missouri. That number is 576-7798.
The wheels on the bus go round and round.
All right. 913-744-3877, if you would be willing and able to donate to the Salvation Army for the children's shelter and all the other great programs that not only go along with that, but that the Salvation Army does here in Kansas City. We still have some tickets for sale, two tickets for $500, Golfing with Dana, and that is on September 20th from 6 to 7 at Top Golf. Before you think, well, why would I want to golf with Dana? Is she some sort of semi-pro? No, she's a pro.
No, I am not.
Two holes in one.
But we will have so much fun golfing.
Yeah. She will own you.
No, I don't know. We'll see.
Sure.
If nothing else, she'll teach you how to hit a hole in one. She's the hole in one master.
If nothing else, I'll have a beer with you. It's going
to
be a good time.
Also, two tickets to Sporting Kansas City. This is for $500 as well. Their game against Houston Dynamo. That is on Saturday, August 31st. At 7:30, we have 20 pairs of tickets available for that. We have some K-State basketball tickets available. And I was mistaken earlier today. And this was foolish of me, quite frankly. I thought with the two anonymous the two anonymous $5,000 donations that to get those matched, you had to donate or offer up $5,000. No, you can do $1. You can do $20, you can do $10, you can do $15, you can do $30, I don't care. Just say, hey, I'm calling in for the match, and that will go into the pot. And once we get to $5,000, one anonymous donor will match you dollar for dollar, then we'll move on to the next one. And when we get to $5,000 there, that anonymous donor matches dollar for dollar. 913-744-3877 or #250. And just say Salvation Army when you're prompted, and it'll get you to the right place.
I am not buying the load of BS that this school is dropping on these parents regarding this bus that was 4 hours late on the way home last night. This was bad enough, Scott, and this is coming from the district statement that was posted by Channel 5. You know, the typical district statement always starts with, with what? You could write this in your sleep.
Oh, the safety of our students is always our number one priority. Yes, of course.
Now, I'm going to rewrite this statement because it is such a load of malarkey coming from the school district after what happened to these poor kids from Garcia Elementary School.
Was it just Garcia or was it other schools?
It was elementary kids on this bus.
Okay.
It says Garcia Bus 5 was very late in dropping off its riders at their home stops today. The last student on the bus was delivered a few minutes before 7. This was caused in part by the fact that buses were late picking up students across Kansas City Public Schools due to a 30-minute delay at the high school.
Why was there a 30-minute delay at the high school?
Well, that sentence in and of itself is a complete load of crap. Let's say there was a 30-minute delay. It does not explain the 4-hour delay getting these kids home. Then listen to this cryptic sentence. Bus 5 ended up further delayed because of wrong turns. Again, this was a 4-hour delay. Our school bus vendor, Student Transportation of America, opted to replace the operator mid-route. Now, what does that say to you? Let's be honest. Yeah,
that says several things to me. All of these would be allegations or just suspicions.
The school bus vendor opted to replace the operator mid-route.
Okay, let me offer you allegations, suspicions. I'm trying to cover myself legally here. The driver could have been, we don't know, intoxicated.
That's number one.
Probably number one.
Let me offer you number two. Some type of complete breakdown.
Mental breakdown. Yes. There is no number three.
It's going to be one or the other. Don't you think?
Yes.
You don't roam around for 4 hours, because here's the deal. There was no communication with moms and dads, and they are furious. They were, one of them was filling out a missing persons report.
Dana, here's something else to take into account. This was students, or these were students from Garcia Elementary School in Kansas City, Missouri. I don't know where Garcia Elementary School is, and it is not even pertinent to the point. However, how far away do most people live from an elementary school that their children attend? 2 to 3 miles.
2 miles, and I think 2 miles is on the outside of what we're talking about.
It would be 2 to 3 miles at best. You're telling me that through a series of wrong turns...
No, I'm not, because I don't buy it. I do not buy the
at
line.
At some point... No. Your series of wrong turns actually put you on the right straight.
Listen to this from one of the parents, okay? This is not funny.
I would be out of my mind livid.
Quoting here from one of the parents, the kid said he took us to the airport.
Excuse me?
He took us to the airport.
I'm looking up Garcia Elementary School.
Yeah, look up Garcia Elementary.
Is it in the Northland?
I don't know. He took us to the airport and then drove all the way to the library downtown. He tried to make us get off. Google map Garcia Elementary.
I'm doing it right now.
Airport and triangulate the downtown library. The kids were crying, by the way, when they finally got off that bus.
Oh, this is not good.
How many miles?
Well, why don't I just tell you where it is? Okay.
Okay.
Think of the Crossroads District.
Okay.
Okay. The name of the elementary school is Garcia. What is Garcia?
I don't know for whom the school is named. It's a Hispanic name. I have no
Hispanic.
Idea.
Hispanic. Where are most of the Hispanic communities in Kansas City?
In KCK or Kansas City, Missouri?
Kansas City, Missouri.
I don't know.
West of I-35 downtown.
Okay.
Just west of the Crossroads District.
How far is it to the airport from there, Scott?
Well, Dana.
It's 45 minutes, isn't
it? I'll tell you this. It's downtown, just west of I-35. In the area that is predominantly populated by Hispanic people. Hence the name Garcia Elementary School. It is roughly I-35 and 17th Street.
Not near the airport.
It's near one airport.
Wheeler. I mean, I'm not laughing. This is not funny. It is mind-blowing that the school will not come out and say what was going on that bus with those kids on the bus. They fired him.
Think Kemper Arena. That's kind of where it's near. Why was the driver taken off the bus? Why is the district not being honest?
Why did it take
4 hours? I mean, Dana, with all due respect, how many, you know, you got to think that Garcia Elementary School, which is in the West Side North neighborhood of downtown Kansas City, just west of the Crossroads District, to the southwest of Power and Light, if you need reference, okay? How many? You know that most of the students don't live north of 670.
No.
They don't live east of I-35. They live in this area right here.
Yeah.
How many wrong turns can you make?
I don't know.
Annette in South Kansas City. Hello, Annette.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
We're doing well.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot believe what I've heard. You know, as a current bus driver, it blows my mind. There's no way. I mean,
Annette, what would happen after the first hour? Because we know it took four. What would happen after the first hour?
Or maybe let's put this into better terms. Well, no, let's put this in better terms. What would happen after the 40th wrong turn?
I don't know. I would. My kids would be going nuts.
Is there no way, Annette, to track like that? I guess we're having trouble understanding why they wouldn't have radioed this driver, or is there GPS on the bus and say
there has to be GPS.
I mean, for the district I drive for, we have a GPS system that gives our mileage, how fast we're going.
Now, they can pinpoint
exactly where we're at.
Annette, understandably, as you're driving the bus, I would imagine it is strongly discouraged that you use your cell phone, right?
Oh, no, it's forbidden.
Yeah, of course.
If we get caught, I mean, we're terminated right away.
Of course. But do you have your cell phone on you when you're driving the bus?
It's in my purse.
Okay.
Behind my seat.
So after you made your 50th wrong turn.
Yeah, you would stop.
And call the district office.
Get out of your seat. Yeah. Now, how come the district office and the bus driver are not communicating through a, sorry, my dog.
No, you're fine.
CB radio.
Now, someone wrote in and said, this is in the Channel 5 story that they were going to fire the driver. And I'm quoting here from one of the parents. Don't just fire him and be like, well, okay, he's out of here. We need to know what was going through his head, why he chose to do the things he did, why he made the turns he did. We need to know.
Was he intoxicated?
You have to pinpoint that, because look what happened in Chattanooga four years ago.
What happened?
Where that bus driver, he wrecked and he killed six children.
I lay the fault here, and I know that they subcontract out to these school bus companies. I put the fault at the feet of the district here, because this never should have been allowed to go on for 4 hours. No way. Even if they swapped out this driver, the school bus company, for whatever reason, decided we got to get this driver out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they swapped the driver out at 6 o'clock. And it took them an hour to deliver those kids. That means this original driver was on a bus roaming around with these kids for 3 hours, and the parents have no idea why.
576-7798. We're doing the radiothon today for the Salvation Army. It is a great cause for the children's shelter, for all the other great things that the Salvation Army provides those in need in Kansas City. If you can donate, 913-744-3877. Or #250, and when prompted, just say Salvation Army, and they'll get you to the right location. 913-744-3877.
What you gonna do when she says coming back?
Couldn't get enough last hour, you had to
go
back.
Having trouble with your romance. Well, you better check it out before.
You liked us so much, you wanted to come back for another segment?
Me, of course. Well, I always want to spend time with you guys.
Tanya Johannes from the Salvation Army is joining us in studio. We're doing our radiothon for the children's shelter, 913-744-3877, or, of course, #250. And when you're prompted, just say Salvation Army, and they will get you taken care of.
I love hearing your stories, and it's important to hear the stories of the children and the families that you guys serve all throughout the year, because I think a lot of people listen. They think Salvation Army. They think the bell ringing, which is great. That does bring in money to support all of the programs. You guys do so much more, especially for the children in the community who desperately need help.
We do. I mean, I think it's important to recognize that children in the metro community really are a focus for Salvation Army. Not only do we have the children's shelter, but we have programs in Independence. We have a shelter in Independence that serves families. They also have an after-school program there, which is vitally important for the families, not only that stay in the shelter, but for the housing area next door, which is low-income housing. And, you know, as you know, our kids come from all over the metro.
Are you full?
We are not full. Again, you can't ever depend on when kids are going to come in. There's no rhyme or reason. You can get a call and take five or six kids at one time, find out later that night that a couple kids might get to go to a relative or get to go back home. So it's very cyclical. It's just very fluid all the time.
And you guys are, I mean, you would have to be, I think, 24/7.
Absolutely.
No days off.
No days off. 365.
Christmas is a beautiful day, but somebody better be at the children's shelter, right? Yeah,
it is a little heartbreaking when kids come in on Christmas or Christmas Eve, and we've had that happen almost every year that I've been around. And abuse doesn't stop just because of the season.
No.
I mean, the tensions of the holidays, the tensions of life in general, oftentimes kids get in a riskier position because of that.
Is there a time of year where you see children more than other times of the year?
You tend to see a spike right around times when the schools start reporting kids not going to school. So truancy times in the schools, when the schools recognize that kids haven't been going to school, that triggers then more investigation and they find out kids are living unsupervised.
Now, one thing you mentioned, Tanya, was schools, and we talked to the major about this earlier, and I've been over to the children's shelter many times. The key is for you guys to keep their life as normal as possible.
Absolutely.
And that means if a kid comes in from Liberty or Lee's Summit or East Kansas City, they still go to their regular school.
They do. And we transport them to and from until the Kansas City district or the home district, whichever it is, can make arrangements to get kids back and forth to school. But you got to remember, it's a long drive sometimes. Like, we go as far out as Fort Osage. So for a kid in the shelter, that's like an hour one way to get to. That makes for a long school day. But you balance that with the fact that they're in their home school. They have their
teacher,
friends.
Yep.
I mean, it's their safe, secure network. We want to preserve that at all costs.
So if someone is listening and they're thinking, I can't give $1,000, I can't give $10,000, explain to people what even $10 or $40 or $100 can do to help any of these families or these children.
Well, you know, I always think about it. Think about your own home. In your own home, you need supplies to run your family. It costs so much to feed a kid. So we know $10 can provide snack for 20 kids. $100 can buy a kid's school uniforms, shoes, and a belt, and if we're really good shoppers, school supplies. $200, I mean, you're talking about, again, you're adding to the pool of what you can provide. You can provide that for many kids. You could provide diapers for an infant for 6 months if you needed to for $200. We really do stretch the dollars to meet the needs. I mean, that's what we do.
Tanya, thanks for coming by. It's always a pleasure to visit with you.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.